folks out there are graduating this year from any high school, college? China and Maryland, really? My goodness, God bless you. And Jamie Schock just graduated also, so it's a father-daughter time of graduation. Congratulations to all our graduates. When is graduation, by the way? June 23rd. Okay. We'll pray for you all on that day again. So, hallelujah. Thank God. And my little son, Michael, who's now to be a father, who is a father, also completed his first year of seminary at Liberty University. Very proud of him also. God bless him. And all you folks that are going to school, God bless you as you're achieving higher education. We do want to apply that to the things of the Lord. Amen? All right, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Mark chapter 5, verse 21-43. We'll be looking today at the woman with the issue of blood. Been ringing in my heart and considering this. I'm reading, I think, from the ESV, English Standard Version. Was that me that clicked? I sprayed myself with Static Guard. So I hope it won't do anything. Maybe my voice is scratchy. That's it. All right. So Mark 5:21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith hath made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Lord, we thank you for the inspired word of God. Let it be quick and powerful this day as it is, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. Let it discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart, so that we might come into the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and grow in your wisdom. Lord, we love you this day. We trust you. We would be obedient to your guidance. In Christ's name, amen and amen. I'd like to look at a few things here. What are the facts of this encounter? And then after looking at that, What are the inferences? What does this thought of healing, it's sandwiched in, as you can see, between the healing of Jairus' daughter, and what is written between the lines, some things sometimes that we do not quite apprehend at times. I'm going to keep spraying myself till I get it right. And then what are the implications for you and for me? I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus ever heal? Did the disciples ever heal? And was healing present in the early church? I ask you, do you believe that healing is present in the church today? And so I believe that we should be looking at that. One of the implications for us is to be about what God has called us to be about. Studying in seminary and all that have done that or learned anything on a higher education in their theological courses has come to the conclusion that what the professors want you to do is seek out what the scripture is saying, not to add anything to it, because we see many modern day preachers, prognosticators that add to scripture. They say, well, they read a scripture, then they go off on some tangent that may well be false doctrine, or may well just be enthusiastic hope. To be able to look at the script, see exactly what the scripture is saying to us. Bear with us, we'll get this right. Hallelujah. And so I'm taking this as a jumping off point for the fact that healing is present in the church today. Said a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. I think that Mark is trying to make the point that they were trying to get at Jesus. They were just all around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. The interesting thing is we read through this sandwiched gospel, I find that the daughter of Jairus, she was 12 years old and just entering into life. But this woman had suffered and was seeing life drain from her for 12 years. It must be an awful thing to have that kind of a disease or symptoms that this woman had and to suffer with that for 12 years. And she had suffered, as the Bible said, under many physicians. So obviously there were physicians in the time of Jesus. And Jesus attests to that, and Paul attests to the fact. Christ said, "If you're sick, you need to go to only a sick person needs to go to a physician." And so it wasn't as though he was discounting any kind of secondary application for healing. Even in the mention of the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He poured in some medicinal wine and oil, wine to try to, maybe the alcohol to kill the disease or germ, and oil to soften the wound. And so means were sometimes sanctioned in the Bible. And so when I'm speaking of healing, I'm not discounting physicians, especially the physicians that we have today who are so knowledgeable about the human body. But it says that she had suffered under many physicians. And she had faith for the physicians to heal her. Obviously, she had faith. That's why she was going for 12 years. And had spent all that she had and then was no better. At times, I've wondered about some of the processes that the physicians have gone through throughout the years. They used to do bloodletting. When they thought that you had a disease, then they would just drain a quart of blood out of you, or whatever they drained out of you. But that seems so barbaric and antiquated. We have so many wonderful means now. But even these, I think that if, in fact, the Lord tarries, in 100 years, they're going to look back and scoff at some of the medical procedures that we have today. I've often thought about some of the ravages that people have gone through with chemotherapy and radiation. I watched my sister die with that, the effects of that on her body, and it was very grieving to me. Then it said she had heard reports. that Jesus, about Jesus. Now, that touches me. We all have heard reports about the healing power of Jesus. And came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. And for she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. When you think about this, in Leviticus, it is forbidden for a woman with any kind of a discharge, or any man with any kind of a discharge, to touch another person, because in touching them, they would make them unclean. We knew that for to be a leper couldn't even go near a person. They had to shout unclean. But this woman, I don't know if she really wanted to touch Jesus so much. She's thinking, well, I don't want to touch him and make him unclean because I am unclean. Maybe I just want to touch his garment and I'll be cleansed of my illness. What made her move in that way and have that faith that touching his garment would be any different than what had happened already to her through the touching of the hands of the physicians on her time and again? But she had a faith that if she touched Jesus' garment, she would be healed. And it said, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. That must have been a wonderful thing. Do you realize for 12 years, she lived as an unclean woman, and she could go nowhere amongst the people in the temple. She couldn't approach it because she was unclean. And I'm sure everybody knew this. But in the crowd, she was lost in the crowd. And she thought, I can sneak in and maybe steal this healing from Jesus. Now, almost she tried to do that, it would seem. And it said, and Jesus perceived himself that power had gone out from him. It was interesting this morning as Tim brought a point about the Holy Spirit, as he spoke about the Holy Spirit, that at times there is an inner witness when you sense the Spirit of God. And Christ, in Jesus Christ, the Bible said, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. And though he is all man and he is all God and never for once sacrificed his deity, he did lay aside his divine prerogatives, and in a sense, he said, I will only do what the Father tells me to do. And the Holy Spirit would be that word of God to him. And he was directed by that, and he moved in obedience to what God led him to do. And so when this woman touched him, he was so yielded to the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God literally moved out and, because of that woman, healed her of her disease. There's something phenomenally supernatural happening here. There was no psychosomatic thing because it is witnessed by Jesus Christ. It wasn't as though this woman had some faith in a magician. Like if you touch a person's touch a cloth, you're going to magically heal. So you're putting faith in the cloth. This woman wasn't putting faith in a cloth. Wasn't even putting faith in the garment. She was putting faith in Jesus. Never have held to so much going out and these people that sell claws and such on television. I'm not quite sure of that. I wouldn't be against if God led me to anoint a cloth with oil and pray over that and to lay that upon a person. I would pray that if people are doing that, that they're having faith in God, not faith in a cloth or even in the oil, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for that matter, I do believe Satan himself could give you some semblance that would look like healing. I don't want anything from Satan. I want to die before I accept anything from Satan. And you all should want that. We don't want to compromise our faith for anything, for anyone. We want to have a relationship with nothing between my soul and my Savior. And so Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Which the disciples found an amazing statement. But certainly, think about this. There were certainly others in the crowd that day that touched Jesus. And there were certainly others in the crowd that day that needed some type of, but only one was healed. Only because she touched him in a unique way. Thank you, Lord. Count it all joy. That's some of the static of life, amen? So, this woman touched him in a unique way. She had said in herself, if I can but touch his garment, I will be made whole. And his disciples said, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? Interesting thought. I heard a man say the other day that Catherine Kuhlman, who remembers Catherine Kuhlman or Catherine Kuhlman, I've told you this story before. I went to college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And during that time, I also worked after college performing in Pittsburgh. But Catherine Kuhlman had her headquarters there and used to go down to one of the churches, and I forget what it was. But this woman was blessed of God. I must have told you this story. I saw a person had gone to a service, they had x-rays taken, and it showed some growth or cancer or something, and went back to the doctor after she had prayed for him. The doctor looked and took another x-ray, and the cancer was gone. And she came back with the doctor with both sets of x-rays, and they showed them up front that this person had been healed because of faith in Jesus Christ. But Catherine Kuhlman, one of her great favorite songs was, He Touched Me. And I want you to think about that today, that Jesus Christ is here in our midst, and he's willing to touch you. We have a great crowd here. There are some that need healing. If we throng Jesus today with faith, I believe that there will be something done here with those that come in faith. Keep that in mind, because at the end of the service, I would like to make that offer to you to come and let Jesus touch you. Does God want all people saved? He would that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does God want all people delivered from the bondage of Satan? Yes, he does. And a question that many people have considered, does God want all people healed? I believe we can answer, yes, he does. But as I can see, are all saved? No, they're not. Are all free from the bondage of satanic oppression and attack? No, they're not. Are all healed? No, they're not. I do not believe that it is on the side of God that is the deficiency. I believe that we do not have enough people touching Jesus in faith. We need to reach out and touch Jesus in faith. We need to pre-plan this and say in our heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I would encourage you this day to make sure of your salvation. And I also would have you make sure of your deliverance from the bondage and clutches of Satan, and also sure that God not only wants to heal you, but as you reach out in faith, he will heal you. Too many people build their theology around their disappointments. They've come up and for themselves or for family and not been healed. And they said, why wasn't I healed? Then God no longer heals. And so many modern theologians are talking about how God has ceased to heal. and God has ceased to do miraculous things. And whether I believe that or not doesn't really matter for the majority. It's whether the Bible states it. I believe that the Bible states that healing is for today. And greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. They're trying to say that the greater works are salvation. I do believe salvation is certainly the greatest work, but I believe that there are other works that are done in the name of Jesus Christ that are phenomenal. The Bible says, he that works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the hearing of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so we know, as you read the word, the only way to say that healing has ended, that salvation has ended, that deliverance has ended, that the gifts of the Spirit have ended, is to disregard the clear, plain word of God. God gave me such a good thought this morning in my mind. And I want to share that with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it gives a litany of the spiritual gifts, the 9 spiritual gifts. And it goes on to explain in a concise manner what each gift is. But then an interesting thing happens. It goes right into chapter 13, which we know to be the chapter on love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a tinkling gong and a clanging cymbal. And then after 13, it goes into chapter 14, where it explains Paul preaching to the Corinthian church the proper way to manifest spiritual gifts in the public assembly. And I thought how interesting this is that God has placed this love chapter between the delineation of the gifts of the Spirit and the actual enacting of them in chapter 14. And God spoke to my heart this. And I am very cautious in saying that God told me to tell you, but I want to explain to you one thing. When I said, do not base your theological understanding on your disappointments or on your failures or even on your past experiences, it's a weak thing to base your theology on your own experience. You need to base it on something far greater. And I know each one of you yells out, I want to base it on the word of God, but I want to base it on something that is similar but is a specific. Base it on the love of God. Base your theology on the love of God. Why does God save people? Because he loves them. Why does God deliver people from Satan? Because he loves them. Why does God heal people? Because he loves them. I believe the atonement that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary was an atonement of salvation. Salvation for the whole body, soul, body, and spirit. And God has come to make you whole. Your pursuit of allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life is where you are right now. Maybe you are shaky in understanding the truth of your salvation. Maybe you are being oppressed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Maybe you are having difficulty in being able to receive by faith the things that God has for you in healing. But don't base it on your failure. Don't base it on your experience, and don't base it on any prejudice you have towards the power of God. Base it on the love of God. Build your theology of each doctrine on the love of God. The woman with the issue of blood, when she came up and touched Jesus, he said, woman, your faith has made you well. I've often wondered how we can best understand that and what exactly Christ was referring to. Because who out there has faith today? Of course we do. I have faith that God can save me. I have faith that he has. I have faith that God can deliver me from Satan. And I have faith that he has. I have faith that God can heal me. And I have faith that he has. Many times in each one of those situations, well, only once for salvation. But whenever I've been dogged by Satan, it has been faith that has delivered me from the clutches of that evil one. Whenever I have been oppressed by physical ailments and I have trusted in God, it's hard for me to even define what that kind of faith was, but God was able to move in my life and deliver me from varied and sundried illnesses and afflictions. And I thank God for that. And I believe that God wants to do that for us this day. He said four different times, your faith has made you whole. In, again, Mark 5:34, he said unto her, the woman, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. To the blind man in Mark 10:52, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. To the leper in Luke 17:19, and he said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. To a woman of the street, he said, who was in sin, he said, thy faith has saved thee. The faith that we need today is the same as saving faith, is the same as delivering faith, because it's faith in Jesus Christ. We've been told time and again, we don't need more faith. Why, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, I know I have that. I know I have that faith. I know I have that much faith to believe that God can do over and above all that I could ever ask or think. And so I want you to exercise that this day, that God is not only able to heal you, but he will. Now, I don't want to throw any kind of a wrench in your faith that we're trying to move to, but I want to point out a couple instances where people were not healed when they wanted to be, nor healed through the means they thought to be. The little girl in this story, that's sandwiched between the woman, Jairus' daughter, she ended up dying. And so do you think that the Jairus and the people around there were wanting her to die or be healed? They wanted her to be healed. But there was a bit of a delay in that. Some people have thought that Paul lost his healing power by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not that the power rested in Paul. Obviously, when I speak of that, I mean that the Holy Spirit was moving through Paul. Because in one instance, he says, I have left Epaphroditus sick. And another time, he tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake, which many people have leaped on that as a best medicinal purpose. That in no ways negates the thought. Paul also said, I've left Trophimus sick at Miletus. So there are some instances where Paul, the great apostle, who saw many people healed, saved, delivered by the power of Jesus Christ, he himself was wrestling with an issue in his life, a thorn from Satan, he said, and three times he besought the Lord until the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, again, I don't want people to leap on that and say, my illness is to the glory of God, when it's just because you've not reached out in faith
to receive all that God has for you. I have thought about this also, that the way God delivers a person is not always the way that we think it should be done. And I believe at times he may use a physician. And I believe that sometimes he may, and I don't want to say delay it, but he may put it off for a certain time to accomplish something else. And the thing that I take to be such a phenomenally beautiful example is when, and we mentioned this before, but I got to mention it again. When Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, was it the will of God for his brothers to do evil? I don't believe God wants evil in this world. And I don't believe that he instigates evil, but I do believe that God knew it. I do know that God wanted to get Joseph to Egypt and wanted to make him the head of the entire country. But what an awful thing for Joseph to go through. What an awful thing for his father to go through. To lose his son, in essence. He thought he was dead. I will tell you that where you are right now, God knows that you're there. God has you there for a purpose. Today may be the day that you are going to give glory to God because you have been healed. Today may be the day when the word is spoken to you and your faith begins to become active. God doesn't want you to have, not that he doesn't want you, God is not requiring you to have more faith. He just wants to activate the faith you do have. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to be active in what he has already given to every man, the measure of faith, every believer. When I think about her spending all that she had, I wonder what kind of a candidate she was for healing. Because for 12 years, she had somewhat trusted in doctors. And why is it that in one instance, she should be healed? Some of you have suffered with illnesses and diseases and sicknesses for that long at least. And some of you have resigned yourself to the fact that maybe this is just the way it's going to be for me. I believe that if you reach out and touch Jesus today, he will work a work in you. He will work a work in you according to the word of God. When Jairus finally did get to the house with Jesus, I love the way the King James says it. Jesus said that she's sleeping, and the King James says, they laughed him to scorn. They just, I don't know, it must have been who do you think you are? They mockingly laughed at him. I believe that when Jesus walked in and touched that young girl and spoke the word of faith to her, that all the power of the universe was unleashed in that young girl. And she rose from the dead. Why that is sandwiched between, why the healing of the woman is sandwiched between Jairus, to me, shows many different points, but two that had stuck out to me especially were the fact that not only could God heal a woman that he didn't even, well, I can't say that God, Jesus didn't know, but just came up through her own volition, but he healed somebody that was dead and could not muster up any faith at all, and the faith of the father must have been very shaky with the mother. The other thing that touches me in the story is an old song we used to sing. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. I believe God is speaking this to us today. Only believe and go and touch Jesus by faith. Only believe. Only believe. Let that be what is stirring you this day. Now, here I stand And I would like to offer myself as the hem of Jesus' garment. There's no power in the garment. And I would like to anoint with oil those that will reach out and touch Jesus by faith. And I am looking for God to heal this day. And so if you are desirous to reach out in faith this day and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, according to Scripture, and I will say that another reason I believe that healing has not ended is because in the Old Testament it said, I am the God that healeth thee. And he brought that right over into Jesus. And Jesus healed many. And then that went to the disciples. For you know the disciples. And then to the 70 that went out. And after that, Jesus gave it to the church. The power of healing in his name and by his blood. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here today. I sense that in my heart. We've spoken the word of God. For those that so desire, I ask that you come on down. We're going to pray together. I'm going to anoint you and lay hands on you and let the power of God deliver you. Also, not only those that need healing, but if you're being oppressed by Satan, I believe God is here to deliver you this day. Praise God.